Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friends, Cody Franco and Avery Zaretsky. And holy fucking shit, what a game. Last night, we're recording right now on Thursday. This pod should be out by Thursday night, but that Ranger Devils game, I actually was in the car for the first 10, 15 minutes of the game. So I had it on my phone blasting in the speakers of the car. It's the one home game I missed all fucking year, by the way. The one game. Damn. You guys can probably talk about it too, where you were watching, your initial reaction, and then we'll get into the rants, the fun stuff, and everything about it. But Avery, where were you for the game last night? Were you with Alex and AJ?
I was at the office. Yeah, Alex and AJ, I was watching with them, and they were so mad during the second period they left. And I was mid workout slash watching the game. So, and they just didn't want any part of it. Yeah, dude, I'm on like a insane grind right now. I've been doing sauna and workouts twice a day. Cody,
wow, we can't hear you. Actually,
I said this is day 6, right? That's crazy.
No, this is day 12, and I have 40 left.
Dude, guess what? That's 12 days more than Johnny's ever lifted a fucking weight in his life. Frail little guy.
I don't know what you're... Sometimes I think it is funny to make fun of Johnny, but like sometimes it just doesn't make sense at all. Like we're just trying to
it's
have
so
like
a forced. Yeah, it's so forced.
Yeah, that was so forced. I didn't like it at all. But go ahead, Cody.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
What's up? The vibes are good. You ruined them, but now pick it back up.
Yeah, exactly. I was ready to start that way.
Nope, we can cut it. Forget it.
We're not cutting this.
No, we're cutting it.
No. He's not going to cut. Cody's afraid of YouTube comments. He's afraid.
Where were you? Yeah. Cody, where'd you watch the game last night? You really going to do this? This is not going to cut, so I'll just keep going. I want to take a quick second just to talk about our new sponsor called Cut. We've got a great new partnership with them, and I love betting with my friends against my friends and betting on them to do anything, whether it's sports games, who's fast. That's what Cut allows me to do. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. They have customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo. So what should we bet on? Maybe Cody shaves his head, Avery dyes his hair, I knock my teeth out or something, who knows? But either way, use our promo code BELIEVERANGERS, that's capital B, capital L, capital E, capital A, capital V, and capital R in Rangers, BELIEVERANGERS for 10% off welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code BELIEVERANGERS. Go to Cut and put your money where your mouth is. So the Rempe, you know, he had to fight, right? Like, we're going to get into it right now. Unless Cody wants to stop acting like a fucking loser. I don't know what he's doing. Are you going to talk or what?
Bro, I've been talking this entire time.
No, all right. Well, we're not playing this bit.
Yeah, come on.
What do you want to know?
Where'd you watch the game?
At home. What do you mean?
Okay, what'd you think originally when the fights happened? Were you shocked? Were you surprised? Did you expect it? What'd you think?
I mean, the Devils and Rangers fucking hate each other. So I guess I was not that sure.
The five on five.
I mean, yeah, it was great. The last time we saw that was fucking the, I think when Brendan Smith was a Ranger, actually.
Or the Caps, yeah. The Caps. Yeah. Okay, so where do we start here? So I guess, you know, Rempe, I think, did what was told of him last time the Devils and Rangers played. Like, I think Laviolette told him not to fight. I don't think he necessarily should have fought against the Devils the last time, but did he kind of need to put this thing to rest? Maybe. I think that's an argument, right? Because the fact that he didn't fight McDermott last time was the reason this whole thing happened. That's not a secret. Everyone knows that. But also, you know, to the Devils' credit, those guys dropping the gloves off the opening faceoff, like, they didn't really have much to play for, right? Like, that was McDermott versus Rempe. The Devils, you know, aren't really in a playoff spot. They're not necessarily battling anymore. Their season's a total loss. And for Lazar and Ball to kind of set the tone too, I think is a little bit, you know, being underplayed. But the Rangers, on the other hand,
obviously a predetermined fight. Everybody and their mother knew it was going to happen, especially when they released starting lineups. The only thing I didn't understand was, so I've never seen this, and I remember in 2012, I don't think that everybody was ejected, but I guess VZ wasn't ejected because he technically dropped the gloves first.
Yeah. So in 2021, when the Capitals fight happened, it was 3-on-3. I think it was like DiGiuseppe. Who else fought for the Rangers? No, Wilson didn't fight.
Brendan Smith.
I think Brendan Smith fought Wilson individually. I don't think it was off the draw. Well,
yeah, regardless, I think this is the first 5v5 that the Rangers have had.
Yes, and I guess the ruling was technically, since VZ and Lazar's gloves touched first, every other fight is a secondary fight, which is an automatic game misconduct. I didn't even know that rule. Apparently, it was set in 2009, which Colby Cohen told me on our show this morning. And I think had the Rangers known that, it might be a different story. Like, listen, I don't think Peter Laviolette's telling Keandre Miller and Jacob Trouba to go drop the gloves and get ejected, right? Like,
right.
You don't want to play with 4D. So that's why when people say, like, you know, some people think Laviolette intended on this being a 5-on-5 thing. I think he surely intended on there being one, maybe two or three. Like, you know, Goodrow was probably a guy who could drop the gloves, maybe Trouba. I don't think he, like, told the team, hey, this is how we're starting. They're putting out this lineup. We got to respond. Everyone's going. Like, I don't
that's
think
like
that was
the, it, it almost felt like in the, I forget what playoff NFL game where the both teams had no idea that if they like that they changed the rules that if you score first, the game ends. It was kind of like
that. I think that was the quarter thing, right? If the quarter ends, it's still.
No, right? there was a game this year that ended after the first score, and nobody knew that, like, they didn't take the ball because they didn't know that was the new rule that just got implemented this year. Like, this just, like, hasn't happened in forever. So I feel like
the NHL,
it could have been the Super Bowl. I don't know. Regardless, I'm blanking. It's NFL. It doesn't really matter. I'm just saying, like, the NHL should probably look into this and be like, if it's, like, predetermined like this, like, everybody, like I said, everyone and their mother knew that this was going to happen. There shouldn't be ejections like that. That was stupid.
I agree. But they're trying to get that out of the game, I guess, which is why.
I know. Which is so dumb. Hockey's back. It was everywhere.
But I think it's a way for the refs to keep the game under control, too. Like, you know, if Rempe stays in that game and throws a big hit, like, God forbid something happens then. And it's a way to control the game. But in a sense, you're also sending a message of, like, so here's the thing, too. I don't think this Ranger Devils thing is necessarily done. I don't think it's put to bed. Like, I think next season there's still going to be a little bit of fireworks because there were five fights. Like, if it was just Rempe and McDermott, I think it's over with, right? But because it was this line brawl, you know, I don't think this situation is over and done with.
Yeah, especially they could play each other still.
No, the season's over for the Rangers Devils.
I'm saying playoffs.
Like next year.
Are the
Devils aren't making the playoffs, dude.
How many points out are they?
They're three games out with six games left. They're not making the playoffs.
I mean, it's not impossible.
They're not making the playoffs.
The Devils are I didn't even consider them. That's how far back they are right now. They're
not that far back. They're below
Buffalo. They have 76 points. Yeah, six points.
Okay. I thought it was a lot closer. Never mind.
I mean, I guess mathematically only 6 points is whatever, but
it's not crazy to say.
No, it's not crazy to say, but it's just like
Okay.
There's no way. But
I mean they're not making playoffs. They have the Leafs twice, they have the Predators. Those are probably three losses right there. And then the Islanders and Flyers, who are both playing and fighting for spots, further so than the Devils, are probably gonna be playing pretty hard. I don't see them making it.
I agree.
Their one chewing game is the Senators. That's it.
So can I go into what I wanted to say?
Yeah.
That wasn't what you wanted to say?
It feels like you've been battling people a lot. And actually, one of my buddies who's a Devils fan texted me that your tweet enraged him.
Really? That it was the biggest regular season win since
2018. I'll read the text. Let me see, it's right here. He texted me this morning and said, "I want Johnny Lazarus dead." This tweet drove me bananas. The best regular season win since 2018. Get the fuck out of here. They faced a lousy Devils team, and the Rangers have been very good in recent years. That's garbage. And I defended you. I said that. I didn't agree that it was the best regular season win, but I also think that Johnny was alluding to the fact that they just played like it could have been against any team. They just played like really bad in the second period, and that the Rangers had like an unbelievable comeback at 5v5 level. They obviously scored the game winner on the power play, but their 5v5 play was phenomenal last night.
So here's where that tweet was lost in translation. And I did tweet, to me, in my opinion, this was the best Rangers regular season win since the letter came out in 2018. The purpose for that letter, you know, they had to change the entire identity of the organization after that core, you know, their window shut. Then 2021 happens. The Tom Wilson broke the Rangers narrative comes out. The Rangers need to get tougher. They need a little bit more of a fuck you. They need a little bit more of a bite. And, you know, I think I've been preaching on the point for the last 2 or 3 years that the Rangers haven't been that hard to play against as far as like in your face, tough. Just overall attitude, they haven't had that. So Avery, for you defending me in the way that you did, you were spot on, because the whole point of the tweet, it doesn't fucking matter if the Rangers beat the Devils or the San Jose Sharks. Like going into that game, it was either Matt Rempe is fighting by himself and standing up for himself, knowing that he had to answer the bell, or the team is coming together as a collective, knowing that Rempe has to put his body on the line, has to fight McDermott, and are having his fucking back. And I haven't seen a Rangers team that really had each other's back since probably the 2014-2015 era. Like the 2021 fights off that faceoff with Washington was because Panarin, you know, obviously
we didn't have anybody big then.
And they were just showing that they had a little bit of balls. But like, you know, for this one, no one had to fight for Rempe. Rempe had to answer this himself. But Rempe's quotes, I think, you know, I want to read what he said. Because
I mean,
this win, but not even just the fights. Let me just keep going here. Cause to me, this win isn't even about the beginning. It's about playing with four defensemen, one of whom Eric Gustafson is just returning back from injury. He's playing 30 minutes last night after being hurt and missing time. Then you look at the goal scorers in this game. Panarin scores the first one. He's been the best player all year. He gets them going. They dominate in the first period. Alexi Lafreniere scores a big goal, 2-0. The Rangers shit the fucking bed in the second period. Every excuse in the world to pack it in, not come back in the third. You're playing a Devils team. You're down to 4D. Sure, the Devils are weak. This game doesn't really matter. We have a lead in the division. Whatever. Like, it could be a loss. No one will blink an eye. You had four guys ejected, blah, blah, blah. Who makes the fucking play to tie the game? Kaapo Kakko, a guy that you've been begging for to step up. Needed to. He makes the play. He ties the game. Rangers power play. You can always count on them in the big moments, right? They come through. They score the game-winning goal. Soft call, but they scored the game-winning goal. And then let me rewind. The fight itself, the fact that Keandre Miller fucking fights and wins the way he does, a guy that the Ranger fans have been begging to play tougher, begging to get meaner, begging to use his frame for his advantage physically, and he beats the living piss out of John Marino. Like, for him, I mean, you see the clips of them in the penalty box laughing, smiling it up, like, that's a group that came together, fought a fucking Devils team, and now feels good about it. And then you see all the quotes in the locker room. You see all the players talking about it. Everyone came to my back. Rempe saying that. Laviolette, Adam Fox is talking about Laviolette having their backs. They have Laviolette's back. Like, this is just a fucking team. And I think that's been missing for a while with this Rangers team. And that's why I think everything that goes into it, to me, was the biggest win. Like, was it the greatest game? No. The Stadium Series game, much better. The Calgary Flames win last year, much better. But the thing that the feeling that this win is going to bring this group is what makes it, I think, what it is. Like that last brawl with the Devils in 2012, the Rangers go on to the conference final that year. You think that fight didn't have a little bit to do with it? Like, it's a fucking group, dude. And I think that's why I tweeted that last night, because of what it's going to do for the rest of the year and the message it sends. The Rangers aren't some pushover fucking team anymore. They have that fuck you. And if you fuck with the Rangers, they're going to fuck with you right back. And that's why I tweeted that last night.
Yeah, that was well said. I think that at this point in the season, with how well the Rangers have played it, it would be pretty easy for them just to coast after that second period. And they didn't. They found a way to win, and they're not coasting at all in terms of game by game towards the end of the year. Like, they could just settle in and pack it in and get ready for the playoffs. But no, they've been playing amazing hockey. And listen, you can't play every single night when you have this type of schedule where they're playing back, you know, every other night. You can't expect them to play every single period great, but the way they finished, it's easily up there for me too. I think you explained it great.
Well, I know we were kind of going at it, Avery. Like, the stadium series was more theatric and electric the way they won, you know, but like, it's hard to argue just this feeling. Like, that game, it's like the big guy stepping up, the power play stepping up with 5 minutes left. They're down 5-3. Like, you need your big guys to step up and win. But like, that wasn't necessarily the overall team. That was like the top guys. Where this right. is like the fact that Kaapo Kakko and Lafreniere scored goals in this game, you know, Miller fighting, I think Vizi fighting, Gaudreau fight, like the players that contributed to this win just makes it more of a collective feeling, I feel like, you know, and that's why that's where my brain was going with it, you know. Cody, any thoughts? I think you're on mute.
Your mic's on mute. This is a top showing for Cody.
Top man. Show.
I'm just going to see myself out, guys.
No, what are you going to say? I want to hear what you say.
No, I mean, you covered it from the gist. I mean, I disagree that it was the best, you know, in the sense of the best game. Like, I understand your reasoning.
I didn't say it was the best game.
I said no, best I mean, you said it was the best win. Sure, fine. Yeah. Same shit. I mean, I think it was definitely a very good showing. And yes, it was cool to see Lof score. It was cool to see Kakko score. Cool to see Keandre fight and, you know, Gaudreau, all those Trubo, all those guys get ejected at the start. I still think the stadium series was better. And I think, like, in terms of wins, just because of the environment, mm-hmm. but
no one's denying that. That environment was fucking sick. I'm not denying that.
Yeah. It was a good character building win is what I'll say.
I mean, the quotes today, I just want to read this from Matt Rempe today. Vince Percagliano wrote it. Those guys are my brothers. That wasn't planned or anything. It was just kind of happened naturally. I think that was really special that they did that as well. I knew that I was going to have to fight. It's not a big deal. Answer the bell type of thing. It happens. But for them to go to war with me was pretty dang special. I love all those guys. Like,
I mean, you know I have mean? A question, though. Yeah. Like, did Rempe have to fight? Like, he declined. He declined McDermott the first time. Like,
he had to fight. He had to.
Yeah,
he,
it was so predetermined. He declined McDermott and like then the way,
got suspended.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Like, see, I think the first time, like, the hit on Bastion, the 5 minute, you know, misconduct, he doesn't get suspended for that hit. So I don't think you have to really answer a bell. Yes, you hurt a guy and maybe there's a code within that. But the next time he didn't fight McDermott and then he elbows Siegenthaler gets concussed and Rempe gets suspension, that you have to answer for. You have to. If you don't fight, you're kind of a coward in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was great that he fought and it just had to happen. Like I said, predetermined. I don't understand the ejections. Obviously it's a rule. They should look into changing that because I know they're trying to get fighting out of the game, but you look at the media coverage, you look what happened. It was on House of Highlights. You know, we posted on Better. You know, everyone, there's a lot of people there's a lot of people at Better who like don't really care about hockey. When they saw that, they're like, we have to post that. How could you not? So it's just like things like that we need in the game still. It's so important. And it was great to see.
It also like these things don't happen often, right? Like the ejection thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, and the theater of it, for it to be the game on TNT, all the buildup, you know, everything that went into it. I think that's also why, like, you know, Laviolette got a little fired up too. Like, you know, I don't think he's actually that mad, right?
The coaches
like,
were chirping each other.
I was wondering. Yeah, I wish they were mic'd up. That's what I texted my buddy. I said I would.
I mean, you could lip read. You could lip read what they were fucking saying.
It's kind of hard. They're on the side. It's not the easiest.
My buddy, who's like a longtime Caps fan, texted me. He's like, you know, Lavi's pissed when he spits his gum out. Like,
he grabbed it out of his mouth. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I think he was also probably just more or less pissed that he lost his guy. Like more than.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, like, Travis Green hands in his lineup first like who's starting, and then Laviolette gets to choose who starts. So if you're starting the fourth line, you're basically saying like, all right, it's a, like, you know, it's Rempe versus McDermott. Again, I don't think anyone really expected the 5-on-5, but Laviolette's basically saying, all right, it's a go, you know, by starting that line. So
yeah,
I don't know why, like I'm kind of with Travis Green here. I don't know why Lavi was.
Yeah, that didn't make sense. I think what happened in 2012 is that the Devils, DeBoer on the sheet put that he was going to start Kovalchuk and didn't. That's why Tortorella was pissed at DeBoer, but I don't understand the Green Laviolette thing. There could be more to it. I don't like to go full speculation on it, but yeah, I do remember distinctly in 2012 that it was supposed to be like Kovalchuk was starting and then he throws out the fourth line and then Tortorella's like, fuck you, like throws out their fourth line and then they all go at it. So
yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought Gaudreau and Vizi, I couldn't really see Vizi how that one started, but Gaudreau I thought went after Ball. Like I think Gaudreau picked his guy, and then the Devil defense, or it was Marino and Tierney, maybe, I think there were the two left that like didn't have a guy. So they were just like, all right, fuck it, I guess we're going. You know what I mean? So I don't think like Keandre or Trouba were necessarily looking for it, whereas Gaudreau and Vizi, it seemed like they certainly were. And I guess it all just spiraled from there. Yeah.
Bro, we got to talk about your boy Lafreniere, man. What a season.
Well, that was the thing, too. Like, he was the best player in that game last night for the Rangers by far, I thought.
Yeah, so it's just his confidence is on another level. And, like, listen, he's supposed to be this player. We drafted number one overall for a reason. It's just so nice finally seeing it come into fruition. Like, he's moving the puck with confidence. He's making plays. Like, he, as much as we love Artemi Panarin as the playmaker of our dreams, Lafreniere is becoming that too. You see him with the puck. He's looking up. He's making different decisions. It's just been incredible to watch. He's got 24 even strength goals. I mean, this guy doesn't play on the first power play. You look at guys like Stutzla, who he's been compared to. Stutzla's played his entire career on the first power play for Ottawa. Could you just imagine where Lafreniere's point totals would be? So that's why I always say never judge a player by their point totals. It takes a little bit longer for some guys. Again. It takes a little bit longer for different guys to get better at the game. And Lafreniere, and I said on the last pod, the difference this year with the Rangers is that they finally have a second line. Like they finally have Trocheck's a point of game player. Lafreniere would probably
that's their
be
first line, dude.
That's their first line. Yeah, you can't. That's their first line.
Yeah, I know. Line. Yeah, but it's like we've had the first line. Like our first line, we know has always
been. That's the first line. Like they are the first.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Cheap, but
all right, I'll frame it better. Yeah, we're finally six guys deep from the top.
Okay, better. Definitely.
I'd say we're nine guys deep.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but no, I'm just saying. Like it's always been. It's always been like, oh, you know, we got Panarin, but he's playing with Dryden Hunt or like. A nobody. Now it's
crazy.
Like, now it's like, look at our top six. There's no nobody in the top six.
No, I agree. But yeah, like, listen, I've been hesitant to like say the Rangers are the real deal.
Yeah, we know.
And I think and I think they're the fucking real deal. Last night showed a lot to me.
Can they beat the Avs in seven?
I always said they can. I just gun to my head. I'm still picking the Avs. Like I just think the Avs are so fucking good. Like I really do. That's not like a. It's not. It's not that I don't believe in them. Like I think they could.
What's the record against the Rangers this year?
Well, the regular season doesn't matter, but I think that the Rangers. I said this to AJ and Alex. I said if this isn't the year, like what is?
Dude, I said that all season, bro. It's not. It's this is it. They're not. They're not getting. They're never getting better than this. I mean, they're just not. They're just not. They're in cap hell the next 4 years. They're never, ever getting better than this. Like, yes, Lof might get better. Kako might get better. Players might elevate.
I still think they'll be good next year, but I'm just saying, like, in the 26 years.
You just said they're never getting better.
No. Does that mean they're not going to be good next year? No.
You just said they're never getting better.
Yeah, you did say that. But they're not going to really lose anybody.
Never getting better than they currently are. Me saying they're good next year doesn't mean they're better than they were this year. Like, what do you mean? Obviously, they're going to be a good team next year. They're going to have the same fucking core. But last year, they were a good team. They still fucking lost in the first round. They're never going to be better than they are this year with this core. It's just not happening. And I know this is tough for you to understand, Johnny, because I see you fucking puzzling.
No. Cody made sense there. He did.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In the 26 years I've been a fan, this is without a doubt the best Rangers team I've ever seen. Top to bottom.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's no question. And like, just in terms of completeness, like this gives you full on like 2021-22 vibes, like with, you know, Frank Vetrano, Kopp, all those guys, except like a step up from that. And that year we thought like, okay, you know, when this team goes in the playoffs, we're like, holy shit, like this could actually be something. Like this year we feel even better going into the playoffs. And I think something to build on, but it's just, you know, again, playoff wins talk. So
it really means better. More to me. Sorry. Yeah. I was just gonna say means more to me because Lafreniere is who he is. Like, I think that like we've just added guys and plugged guys in. And it feels so nice that he's just been our guy. Like, we haven't had to go out in the deadline and grab someone to put in his spot. Like, it's his spot. This team is just, I just can't wait for the playoffs, man. Like, Panarin has 110 points. He has 45 goals. Like, that's just, this is it. This is the season.
I'd do anything for him to hit 50. Anything.
It's possible.
50 goals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be so sick. He can do it for sure. All right, should we end some fan questions?
Yeah.
All right, first one. Let's start this off with like a fun one. Mark Schiraldi, what was your guys' favorite Rangers playoff game you watched live?
Live?
Yeah, I've actually been to a bunch of those fucking good ones.
It was a boring game. Well, okay, two.
Oh, I know your answer.
First one was a boring game. The 1-0 Canadians win to clinch us to go to the Cup. In 2014.
That was a boring game. What do you mean?
I mean, boring in the sense that like it was there wasn't that much action. Yeah,
got it. Yeah. Okay,
but that was easily the most hard. Yeah, my chest. Like I
no. Obviously, we're on the edge of our fucking seats.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the New York Rangers we're talking about. Every fucking playoff game, we're on the edge of our seats. But in the sense of like, you know, goal scoring fiesta, it was quite boring. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Hank put on a show. Carey Price put on a show, but. That game, and then I mean the Panarin OT winner, just nothing like that. Seeing that in person, just insane.
That whole day too, like we were all together, right?
Yeah,
Avery, not Avery you were there though. Too, right?
No, Avery wasn't there.
I don't think I was with you guys.
We like went to Mustang Harry's with like AJ, Alex, their dad, like the whole had a whole crew. Cody had some friends. It was.
It's insane.
It's 3 a.m. that night after the game.
We went out after that
on a Sunday night.
Yeah,
like the Panarin one doesn't even crack the top three for me.
Really? I actually have the Panarin one very high. Even
no,
I was at
it doesn't crack the top
I was at
three.
Richards tying goal. I was at the St. Louis game, and I still have Panarin up there.
Doesn't crack.
I'd
the
go
top three.
Number one. Stepan. I thought they were winning the cup after Stepan scored the game seven.
I was there.
And then watching it back, like hearing the call, like that Rangers call probably lives with me the most. St. Louis number two because. You watch St. Louis in warmups every single time
we
shoot that shot.
Yeah, I was at all these games too. Yeah.
Oh my God. And it was like the most perfect shot of all time. And the vantage point we had of it was insane. And then number three, I would probably say the 1-0 too. Like that game, just like going to the Stanley Cup, it's like this could be it. Just the euphoria around MSG, like not even just like during the game, after the game too, just never felt anything better than that.
The shit that makes me so mad about 2014 is like the Kings weren't even supposed to fucking be there.
They played more games than us. It's every series they had went to seven.
Dude, they shouldn't have even been there, and then they just smoked us every game was a close game too, but we just couldn't get done.
I still think they might have been the better team that year.
The Kings?
I do.
No, I'm not saying they weren't, but I'm saying the fact that they were the sixth seed, they just weren't supposed to be there. Were they the eighth seed? I don't even remember.
No, that was 2012.
No,
when they were
the eighth seed was when they beat the Devils.
They were sixth seed, but like they weren't even supposed to fucking be there.
Yeah, stupid.
Well, also, Mark said, so this is Mark Schiraldi's follow-up. I'm from Toronto. I went to game six at MSG versus the Hurricanes in 2022. Tons of fun.
I was there too.
That was a good one.
I was in Chicago for that game, actually, at a Chicago bar. I was with Tommy Lee.
I remember that.
Watching that game.
I remember that.
Yeah, fuck. I can't wait for the playoffs. Holy shit, man.
So, you know, another good one was, Richards.
The tying goal. I was there too.
Richards tied it, and then Mark Stahl scored with like 2 minutes into the overtime.
The same 4-minute double minor, Joel Ward.
Yep. Yeah.
Brutal. brutal.
Dude, playoff prices are going to be insane this year. Insane. Yeah. They're going to, whatever they ever were in the past, they're just going to be double easily.
All right. Here's a follow-up from Brandman7694. I guess we kind of answered it already, but what do you think was the Rangers' craziest overtime playoff goal?
I mean, playoff
step goal. On. Dude, offensive zone draw, step on. It has to be.
I mean, Stepan or Panarin, dude. Either one or the other. I mean,
Panarin was first round. Stepan was to go to the conference final.
I vote St. Louis, dude.
St. Louis was insane. Like the puck was on his stick and the whole guard.
Everyone just started standing up.
Yeah, it was just him.
Oh, it was God, like man, it was like Carmelo loading up for a three-pointer.
Dude, being down to Pittsburgh 3-1, Panarin coming back to clinch that. Come on.
I will say though, the Stepan one too, like when it landed on a stick, it felt like it was on a stick for 30 minutes before he shot into the net.
Dude, the second Panarin got that puck, I was like, this shit's over. Down 3-1, three games in a row, OT winner to send us to what ended up being a nice run. Come on.
But what I will say about the St. Louis one again, that was to put them within one win of the Stanley Cup final. And being in the Garden for the first time in my life, hearing the "We want the cup" chant. Like that's when I first heard it for the first time.
And I have PTSD from that chant. I like never want to hear it again until
unless it's
fucking game four of the cup and we're up 3-0. Like I never want to hear that chant again.
Yeah.
All right. Next one, Ryan Griffo 25. How much of a legend is Matt Rempe?
Pretty big legend.
It's fucking crazy. Let's be real. Like this guy has played like 14 games in the NHL. And he has been the talk of the season.
I'm getting daily texts from non-Rangers fans being like, bro, he's a waste of a roster spot. What are you guys doing? Bench him. Bench him. Like, how's he not going to be a healthy scratch in the playoff? Like, all this shit. And I'm like, dude, he's effective. Like, it's common sense. I mean, like, you don't need to be – God, I feel like fucking Avery here. You don't need to be scoring goals to be effective, but –
No, it's full circle. It's like almost like effective. That I'm right when I speak.
You're all
Yeah, but no, the Rempe story is really cool. I think that he's going to be able to tell his grandkids some pretty awesome stories when he's older. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him in the playoffs. It's just like one of those things where like even when the Garden's dead and Rempe steps on the ice, everyone's waiting to see what his next move is. And all it takes is a little hit to get the Garden back on their feet, down 2-0, you know, down 2-1. It's important for sure.
My thoughts are just like he's on the fourth line. Like if it's in a playoff game and it's a guy who's been effective and can like protect his teammates, like To me, it like can hurt you, but then it obviously can hurt you if he makes a stupid play and then like takes a big penalty in the playoffs. So I think they do need to tread carefully. Like if it's me, I'm starting him for sure. But I do think they need to tread carefully because he has made some dumb plays that he needs to like learn from. And like, you can't do that in the playoffs. Like, cause we know more than anybody else on the planet, like if he makes a bad play in the playoffs and it turns into a goal, fans turn real quick. So that's something like, you know, like, so it's just something to keep in mind. And like, again, I really do think it's going to be matchup based. Like if we're playing the Flyers, I would assume Rempe's probably in. If we're playing Detroit, maybe not. They're a little bit of a faster team. Who knows?
So I've actually shifted on this a bit. I think just for game one, I'm not playing him. Just for
100%. Yeah.
And I think you feel the emotion of the playoff. Let the series kind of settle in before you throw him in there. Cause he's a guy who plays with a ton of emotion and plays a little bit reckless. Let's be honest. And I think in game one, the emotion could get the best of him experiencing it for the first time. So maybe you let him watch game one, feel the energy in the building, let everything kind of settle in. And then you put him in game two. I think that just might be,
if they need a change of pace, he's an obvious option.
Yeah, because if he takes a 5-minute penalty in game one, like God knows, you know.
Exactly.
I don't know. And this is I'm a Rempe fucking lover. I love the guy. Like, I just think the emotion might be a little too much in a game one. Maybe let him feel it, and then throw him in. All right, next one. Giordano 1399. Who do you think will be the Rangers' X factor? Player in the playoffs.
That's a good one. I'm gonna go. Okay, you guys can go first.
There's so many. Like you want it to be Panarin. Like if he's on, there's no way they're not making it to at least the Eastern Conference Final. But I think it's Igor, man.
Well, you know, I think X Factor is like more of that like hidden gem kind of, you know, obviously the Panarin's, Zibanejad's, Igor's.
All right, then if you're gonna frame it like that, you know, it's a lot for Wemberg.
No, I you're like Wemberg, I think is a good one.
I'm going
Wemberg. Avery, you might be surprised at my answer.
You're gonna say Kako,
isn't it? Surprised.
Didn't you say Kako was your X Factor last year too? Pretty sure you did.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I agree in that sense because listen. In years that the Rangers have been good, and I don't really dive too much into the plus-minus stat, but almost every player on the Rangers is a plus this year because of how well they played defensively. Like even Panarin's playing good defense. I think that's like a lot, and you owe a lot to Laviolette because of that. But I think you're going to see a guy like Kako, who's so good offensively and defensively, skill-wise, he could be the X factor. He was the other night, last night.
Yeah, I'm saying too. If someone is shutting down the Trocheck line, you're gonna need other people to step up. The third line is always a very important line in the playoffs to get teams successful. Kako's been, he's shut me the fuck up. He has. Like I tweeted.
I don't know why they broke up that line.
Wemberg, Kako, Cooley. I have no idea. Either. Hopefully they bring that back.
He's putting Cooley on the fourth. Weird. Weird.
It was. They brought it back for this game, but it was also like wonky because they only had 9 forwards. But
yeah.
They can't break that up. They've been so good.
No. Yeah, you have to leave that. And to me, like Wenberg, like I've been saying for fucking weeks now, he's that guy who can shut down, you know, top line
center. He played really well last night,
like,
too.
He's a guy who elevates those around him defensively. And, you know, he might not score every game. He does make some pretty passes. But, I mean, you know, look at what Keandre did to Malkin 2 years ago when we played the Penguins. I mean, like he shut him down, and like that's what you look for in a two-way forward. And you know, he's a guy who I can see really like elevating the rest of the squad around him defensively, and also make some pretty plays. So I think he's going to be huge down the stretch.
I agree. Next one from Benjamin Eppel: can Lafreniere be that guy in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I don't see why not. I mean, he's hot right now. Like that, you know, like dude, look at, what was that dude's name he was on the Flames, Sam something. He's always a beast in playoffs. I'm literally blanking on it. Yeah. Sam Bennett, dude. He just back in the day, I mean like 3-4 years ago, right? Like come playoffs, the last like 10 games he'd heat up and then he would go on a tear in the playoffs. And it's like, you know, look, Laf is obviously more talented than him, I think, but
fourth overall pick.
Yeah. But at the same time, like you can't really ask more from Alexis Lafreniere right now, other than doing what he's doing.
I mean, he's doing more than what we even expected. So I think
give us credit. We all said 50s.
Yeah, I think having the experience that he has already playoff wise, he knows how the Garden feels. He knows what it's like to go into other buildings. There's no reason that this confidence can't carry over to the playoffs and he can't be an X factor. And I think he will be.
I agree. I think if I had to put a number on it, I would say Lafreniere gets at least 10 points in the playoffs.
Oh, you're going points.
Assuming they get to a minimum. I'm saying minimum 10 points in the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree.
Okay, next one. This is actually just a comment, but who was it actually? Wait, where to go? Lauren Khaleesi said, if Igor and Kokkonen fought, would they have gotten thrown out too? Like, probably.
Yeah.
Next one is from Jamie Tatis. Ideal playoff lineup. Also, do we think Laf breaks 30 goals and 60 points? Lafreniere right now has 26 goals and 54 points total. I don't know if he breaks 30.
He's not breaking 30. I would love him to, but he's not breaking 30.
I think he'll break 60. I think he'll break 60 points. Yes, I don't think 30 goals.
I think he might end up with probably between 58 and 62 points. I think we could all probably agree on that. Yeah. You know, he has 26 goals right now. I could see him getting 28. If he goes on a real tear, maybe 30. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, that would be awesome, obviously. But I'd rather him just go on a tear in playoffs. honestly.
Bro, he almost broke my even strength agenda. That was like a second after the power play ended. His goal.
What do you mean? Last night. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he was on the first unit for a second on the not the power play. No, that same power play. I think he played the full 2 minutes. I'm not even kidding. I'll go back and watch. But that power play that he scored right after it ended, he was out there. Zibanejad didn't start that power play with them.
I don't remember.
Dude, if there was ever anybody we needed to be an X factor in the playoffs, it's Mika fucking Zibanejad after the season he's had this year. I mean,
well, he's not an X factor. He's the guy. He has to be the guy.
Yeah, 100%.
If he's not the guy, I don't know, you know. I don't know. He's just, I don't know.
He's been great as of late. So let's hope he keeps it up.
Wrong word.
Dpar518. Have the vibes reached the 2012 to 2014 team with this group after that sweep and line brawl? 1,000%. That's what we talked
higher,
about.
Higher, I think.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next one. Sammy Hockey 36. Does Lavi switch up the bottom four? Miller, Schneider, Trouba, Gustafson.
Dude, if Trouba Miller are together, I'm just going to lose my shit.
That's what. So you asked earlier to make the ideal lineup. Like my ideal lineup would be to split them up and go back to Schneider and Miller. But
yeah,
I just,
it's a no brainer.
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't.
It's a no brainer. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Trouba, Gus, or I guess Joe, like, how do you make the call on Gus Jones? I mean, Jones has been playing so well. Like, I just feel so bad for the kid. If they'd,
the call was made already. You can tell that's where Lavi lets have that.
Yeah. Last night.
You're saying Gus.
Yeah. It's going to be Gus.
I know. It just sucks. I mean, I feel for the kid. I do.
100%. But I mean, I'd be shocked to live in a world where Zach Jones isn't in the sixth defenseman next year.
I mean, we've been saying that, I feel like, for, you know, so third pair defenseman was a lock for Zach Jones this year. We were all talked about it, and here we are. So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Ooh, this is a good one. Mike D92. Why do hockey personalities not take the Rangers seriously as a threat to win?
I think because our fans are probably intense and they probably are a little sick of us, but I don't know.
Well, what was the tweet last week? It was that guy, Adam, like ETC, right, Avery? I think you sent it. He tweeted like about if it weren't for Shesterkin, the Rangers wouldn't have won a game or something like that. And he
made a great point. He's like, a lot of people talk about how,
like, if the Oilers didn't have McDavid, they wouldn't be as good. If the Rangers,
right, like they just, they use Shesterkin as like they kind of just like don't acknowledge.
I'm trying to find it.
What he's done. If that makes sense.
I don't like when people do that and they're like, well, if it wasn't for this guy, like, yeah, cool. Okay. I mean, obviously if you didn't have your catalyst and your best player on your team, you're not going to perform. Like that's any forever. That's literally would the Capitals have ever came close to the cup if it wasn't for Ovi? No. So it's like,
yeah, it's like saying the 94 team without Messier. It's just
okay.
Like,
I got it. I got the tweet. So it was a quote tweet to PK Subban's video about why the Rangers are not the best team in the league, which Avery and I, we talked about, but Adam, ETC, who's a good follow on Twitter, actually, I like following him. He said, why is it that when the best player happens to be a goalie, it is considered extra? If it weren't for Shesterkin, .. or Hank back then, he's on the team. It's very literally like saying the Oilers can only win if McDavid plays well. Yeah, dude, we know. Spot on. Again, though. Okay. So, with the Hank thing, Hank made the Rangers better, right? Like the Rangers roster, they had a lot of issues like back in those, you know, 2012 to 2015 years. Like while those teams were good, there were better teams. Henrik just elevated them so much. Like there's no doubt that Henrik was the best player again, but he is on the team. But
can I also say that now they're, and I don't know if you guys agree with this and sorry to interject, but I feel like goalies are better right now than they were then. Like back then it was like Quick, Hank, Carey. And now there's like 10 goal. Like, yes, Shesterkin's at the top of the league, but you got Vazzy. You got a million other guys who are like so good right now.
But goal scoring's up too.
Yeah, yes, I think it's more just like it's also like there were less better goalies because the goalies just played more. Like Henrik was playing almost 75 games a season. Yeah. So it was like,
But you think to that 2014 team, like Zuccarello led the team with 57 fucking points.
Yeah, that's it. That's the thing. It's like,
can you imagine? That's like Loft leading our team this year.
But like if the Rangers had an average goalie in those times, they're probably not as good. So I think in this argument, like, you know, everyone says like in certain cases, you're like the Rangers go where Igor takes them, right? Like that's kind of a narrative. But like a team like Colorado that won the cup, it wasn't the Avs go where Kemper takes them.
Yeah.
That wasn't the conversation. So, you know, in this
won the cup because the defense was elite. And they
scored fucking four or five goals a game. Like they scored.
Yeah, and that just alludes to the difference of this team versus any other team that we've had in Rangers history, in my lifetime at least, is that the scoring is beyond belief right now.
Yeah.
And they have the goalie.
Yeah. Yeah. But I kind of get the argument though of like it's different with the McDavid versus like Shesterkin. Like if you give Shesterkin to the Oilers and you take away McDavid, the Oilers I think are still as good.
100%.
Probably, yeah. But this
I mean, that's a crazy thing to say, but like without McDavid.
No, it's not.
It's not that crazy. And also, like, this team's just different. I mean, this is the team. Like, this is the first year, I think, as a Rangers fan in my lifetime in over 25 years where I'm just like, wow, this team is up 2-0. Then they go down 3-2. Like, in the third, zero doubt in my mind. There's a chance they're coming back to win this game. Like, and there's been good teams in the past, but there's never been a team like this with every single game day in and day out. Like, I'm like, they're down a goal or two. Yeah, it's fine. Like there it's times left.
Even
on the clock.
Penguins game, which was shit.
Like times left on the clock. Like they're coming back. Like,
and also when a team's beating Igor, it's like, they're hard. They're tough goals. Like they're not goals that he's just like, being lazy or whatever, like that Palat shot had to have been perfect to go in.
That was a sick shot. Yeah. And the pass by Brat to Heischer, that was fucking
dude. And I also, at the end of the game, I thought Hughes scored there. The camera angle made it look like the puck went in the net.
Oh, the like when he tried to go like short side or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, that was a little scary.
I was nervous.
Yeah, wow. Should we do one more?
Sure.
Sure.
This one's kind of different and fun. We love those ones. Hockey All Day 757, Pete Dempsey, our boy. What are y'all's consistent music rotations for the gym? Want to hear everyone's answers. I'm actually not a music in the gym guy. I'm a podcast guy in the gym.
Oh, you're a sicko.
No, yeah. I was too for a while.
I'll backtrack. It depends. If I'm on the treadmill, I'll listen to a podcast. If I'm like pumping, working out,
agreed.
Got music.
Agreed. I'm kind of similar.
Because you listen to a podcast on the treadmill, it helps pass the time. Like you. Every time you want to get off, you're just like, you know, listen to the last 10 minutes of this show. I've been listening to Theo Vaughn. He's so funny, man. His podcast is great.
Yeah. What's it called again?
It is, why am I blanking on the name?
I've seen a lot of clips from it, but
I listen to it all the time. Why? It's like something this past Sunday. Why am I blanking on it now?
In terms of music weekend,
great podcast.
Theo Vaughn.
What are you saying, Cody?
No, I was just going to say, in terms of music rotation, I usually go with like, I definitely do some country. So I do like a lot of Morgan Wallen, some Kane Brown, definitely rocking with some hip hop and rap. So I, you know, Eminem.
That's when I'm coming back. Morgan Wallen.
Future, all the guys. Wait, dude, I'm going too.
No way. Friday or
May 18th?
Saturday?
May 18th?
Let's go.
Let's go. Pre-game.
Dude, Saturday, May 18th. Bro, I bought the tickets last year.
And it got
didn't do the show.
Where are you sitting?
At MetLife.
Oh, section, wow.
Like one something.
Bro,
it's going to be sick too. Cause like he's only doing like two shows because it's a reschedule.
I know. So it's insane. I know. Yeah. He's my favorite. He's fucking unreal.
And the only thing that's scaring me is that there might be a game that night.
I've been thinking about it too, and I do this every single year, as Johnny knows. Last year was Rufus Du Sol. The year before was Tel Aviv. You know what, dude? What will be.
Yeah.
We
just stream it on your phone.
It's it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good. All right, boys. Good stuff today. Should we just save a pod for after the end of the season, or
so what do we got left? We have six games.
Six.
Yeah. There are six. Let me just double check.
And I'm pretty sure we only have like one good team. I mean, I think we have the Islanders once more, maybe, but
six. Islanders twice.
Islanders twice. We got the Wings, which could be potential. Islanders, Wings, and Flyers. So we could get a good taste of our round one opponent if we stay in first.
Could play Washington too. We'll see.
Yeah, I feel like they're gonna overthrow.
Yeah, I don't. But yeah, I don't think we need to record. I mean, unless like it's like
something
like
crazy happens. Hand.
There is a surprise coming soon for all you listening. There is a surprise coming soon.
Oh, you guys. Someone know. Did ask about merch.
Mm.
Well, you kind of spoiled the surprise. Johnny, but yeah, there's merch coming. I'm actually gonna get to see it in person tomorrow. And we'll probably do a little bit of a photo shoot and then tease it.
Oh, yep. Okay, model. Okay, hot guy. Yep.
Bro, the merch is sick.
My boys and dropped 12
not
pounds.
Only that, not only AJ and Alex, so they showed us the first thing, but they said there's a surprise. There's a second item that they will not
yeah,
tell
if it's
about.
If it's not a hat.
Probably a hat for Cody. Yeah,
yeah, if it's not a hat, they're dead to me.
Yeah, but I'm excited. I'm excited right, for boys. That. I'm sure people are going to be hyped up about that too. But yeah, no recording. I think we wait until playoffs because there's really not going to be that much to talk about. Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Well, once,
I think
once it's
wait.
Locked in who the first round opponent is.
Yeah. We'll give a preview. We'll give a playoff preview of all the teams and, you know, talk about the Rangers and their opponent. I think once it's announced, we can, you know, jump in on it.
Sounds good.
Right. Send it off, right. Cody.
LFGR, baby.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.